أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, Al-Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition will lead to hellfire. Every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, which is Tuesday, the 26th of May for the year 1998, which is equivalent to the beginning or the first of the month Safar for the year 1419, and this is our 14th class. This is our 14th class for the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram, which means in English the attainment of the objective. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter, which is chapter number 10. And this is page number 55, Arabic and English. If anybody have this book, Bulugh al-Maram, please open page number 55. This is chapter number 10, and this is our 14th class today. And today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about menses. And this is one of the means of learning about our deen by attending the classes, as well as also from the means to know about this deen that you go and ask questions. And the chapter of purification and cleanliness is very important, as we stated before. And alaykum as-salam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed us that at-tahuru shatru al-iman, purification is half of the faith. So it is very important for us to know about purification and means of purifying ourselves and all the things which keeps us physically as well spiritually, to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by trying to clean our body and to try to clean our hearts, cleaning our body from the filth, the impurity, learning about ghusl, learning about menses, learning about istinja, all these things is very important and is very essential in our deen. This is part of the deen al-Islam, and especially about purification is the foundation for your salah. So before you make salah, before you make wudu, before you do all these things, you have to know about how to clean yourself. And you have to know what is clean and what is not clean, or what is impurity and what is purity. So you can try your best to remove all the impurity away from your body, and this is the way, by cleaning yourself, this bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he's saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who clean themselves, those who repent and come back to Allah in repentance. Allah loves them. Allah يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those ones who clean themselves, purify themselves. So cleanliness in Islam is very, very important. And starts with cutting fingernails, okay, which is one of the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well all the prophets before. Claiming the mustache, shaving underarms and the private parts, and making the istinja and washing and cleaning the private parts after using the bathroom, tayammum, wudu. All these things comes under this tahara. So it is very, very important that we learn about these things. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this subject which we're dealing with today is dealing with menses. And menses is one of the types of blood that comes out of the woman and send it, or comes out from her womb. There is three types of blood comes from the woman in different times. One blood which she deals with a regular time and became like a sign of a woman reaching age of puberty, and this is damul haid, the blood of haid, the blood of menses. And there is another type of blood which also comes from the same place, and this is istihada, okay? This is istihada, which is a type of sickness, okay? And we're going to talk about it also in details. And there is nifas, demon nifas, which is blood that comes after childbirth, okay? And this is the three types of blood that can come out of the woman, and all the three types of blood are impure. Like we stated before, that anything comes from the private parts, doesn't matter from male or female, from the back or the front, doesn't matter, anything comes from the private parts is impure. That means you have to stay away from it, and if it comes out of you, you have to clean the parts, the part that came out of it, okay? And if it comes in your clothes, that you need to wash it or remove it to the best of your ability. Okay? So this is something very important that we have to keep in mind while we talking about the blood, that everything coming from the private parts, it is impure, okay? And that we need to remove it, clean it from our body, as well as our clothes, as well as the place of salah, with exception, okay, with the semen. We talked about this before, okay, but although that in my the stronger opinion and my personal understanding about it, that is not impure, but the coming of the semen still have to request the person to clean it, remove it from his body, wash his organ, or take a ghusl, okay? But we talking in general, with exception of the semen, that anything comes out of the private parts are impure. Okay? And they need to be removed, to be washed from the body as well as the private parts. The hadith, this in chapter 10, page number 55 in book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت إن فاطمة بنت أبي جحش كانت تستحاض فقال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن دم الحيض دم أسود يعرف فإذا كان كذلك فأمسكي عن الصلاة فإذا كان الآخر فتوضئي وصلي. رواه أبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم واستنكره أبو حاتم. ناريتت عائشة فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش had prolonged flow of blood. And by the way, the word hide, it came from flowing the blood or running. Okay, this is the original word coming that is used in the Arabic, hide. Okay, the running of such fluid. Okay, so her period Fatima bin Hubaysh, bint Abi Hubaysh, prolonged, that got longer than usual. Okay, it's not 6 days, it's not 10 days, and prolonged flow of blood. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that the menstruation blood is a dark recognized blood, so if it comes, then avoid prayer, and if it is the other light colored blood, then perform wudu ablution and offer salah prayer for that, for that is blood of a vein. Okay, so here we see this sahabiya, one of the companions, which is Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh. Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kanat istihad. Okay. Now this istihada, this hadith is talking about istihada, the regular bleeding period called haid. Okay. The running of the blood with no stopping, even after 7 days, 10 days, is still coming. Stay for a month. Stay for a year. Now we're talking about a different type of blood called istihada. This is not irregular menses. This is a sickness. Okay? Some illness. So this woman came because she's concerned about her ibadah. She's concerned about her worship, the salah and the other things that related to purification. So she came and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to her that in dam al hayd damun aswadun yu'raf. That mean women usually has the ability to distinguish between the menses blood and other type of blood by the color, as example. And he said damun aswad, dark blood. Okay, yu'raf, it can be recognized by the women because they know their nature, and they know about their sicknesses, and they know about the things that comes as a part of their nature. They will aware about it. That means for you to look to this blood, because you being a woman, you should know about this, the different type of blood. One is dark blood and one is lighter. So the dark blood is the menses, the other one is not a menses, is what? is some kind of sickness. And he said that this is the blood of a vein. And we're going to explain in another hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that this is raqda min raqadati shaitan, that a kick from the shaitan. Because we understand that the shaitan can touch the human being by different means. And we know from a hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the shaitan attends the human being affair, all his affairs. He goes to you to enter the house, he goes to eat with you, even when you go to sleep with your wife, the shaitan will attend this affair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how we protect ourselves from the shaitan. Okay, like citing the name of Allah before you enter your house, before you eat, the dua that you're supposed to say before you have intercourse with your wife. Okay, so the shaitan can touch the human being by different means and different ways. Okay, this is something that is recorded in the Quran and the hadith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told here in another hadith, we're going to talk about it, that is a raqda min raqadat al-shaytan, like a kick or a touch from the shaitan. So this has nothing to do with your menses. So for you to look, and when you see the type of blood or the smell of the blood or the color of blood change, now you need to start your regular prayer. Okay? So don't worry about this other type of blood. Don't stop all for a whole month or for a whole year without prayer. But for you to observe your bleeding, and when you see the change in the colors of the blood, okay, فَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَأَمْسِكِ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. The blood of menses, when it comes and you recognize it and you see it, and you can distinguish it, which is dark, now stop making salah. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْآخَرِ. But when the other one, so تَوَضَّئِ and make salah. Make your wudu and make your salah regularly, even if your blood is still coming. And this hadith, although that you see here in Bulugh al-Maram, it says that it's munkar, unusual, but this hadith is authentic. Alright, this is hadith is authentic. And this hadith is in the collection of Abu Dawood and the Nisa'i and the Dharqutni, Al-Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban. And Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, had pointed to this hadith to be authentic, Imam Al-Hakim and Al-Zahabi. And Al-Hakim said that this hadith is authentic ala shart Muslim. Okay? So basically this is what this hadith. The next portion of this hadith, وفي حديث أسماء بنت عميس عند أبي داود والتجلس في مرك فإذا رأت صفرة فوق الماء فلتغتسل للظهر والعصر غسلا واحدة وتغتسل للمغرب والعشاء غسلا واحدة وتغتسل للفجر غسلا واحدة وتتوضأ فيما بين ذلك. Okay, in another hadith which reported by Asma bint Umais, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood, she should sit in a tub, and when she sees yellowish color on the tub of the water, she should take a bath once for Zuhr and Asr prayer, and take another bath for the Maghrib and Isha prayers, and take a bath once for Fajr, and in between this time she perform ablution. Okay, and this hadith is Hassan, good, and Sheikh Al-Albani Hafizahullah, he points this hadith to be authentic also. Okay, so there is another narration which is reported by Asma bint Umais, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi had ordered this woman to sit in a tub, okay, something like to fill it with the water, And as a result of sitting in this tub with water, the blood that coming out of her will rise over the water, and she will see the color. And by this way she will distinguish the blood of menses from the blood of istihada. Okay? So when she sees this yellowish color, not dark, because dark color is supposed to be what? Menses. But yellowish color or lighter color will be what? Istihada. And I don't have another name in English to give it to you. We know the first one called menses, okay? But this one I don't have a name in English to tell you. So we call it istihada, okay? So when you see this yellowish color, so what you're supposed to do? Make ghusl for each two prayers, Zuhra and Asr. And make a ghusl, a full shower for Maghrib and Isha. And make a ghusl for Fajr. And make wudu for each salah. Okay? So, let's say as example, Asr comes at 5 o'clock. She don't perform her Zuhr. And about 4:30, as example, she will go and take a shower. Okay? Or let's say at 4:40, she will take a shower. She will take a shower. This is about 10 minutes. And after this, she is going to make wudu. Okay? And she will start to pray approximately like 5 minutes before 5. Alright? And after this, she will make a wudu and start to make asr. Do you understand? So, she made the zuhr in the end of the time of zuhr, and she made the asr in the beginning of time of asr. You understand this now? Okay. She will repeat the same thing for Maghrib and Isha. She will bring the Isha closer to the Maghrib. And she will make ghusl. Okay, and after this she make a wudu and she make Salat al-Maghrib. She finish Salat al-Maghrib, she make a wudu again, and she make Salat al-Isha. And Fajr, she make a ghusl for Fajr and wudu. Okay, alright. This for a woman who have istihada, that her blood always running non-stop. Now regardless if this blood comes during her salah or after she take a ghusl, doesn't matter, okay? But she have to try her best to put something to keep the blood of coming out of her during the salah. So if the blood coming out of her private parts but goes in this irhamukallah, in this clothes or whatever she have, doesn't matter, her salah is still good and she continues the prayer, but she have to make what? A ghusl for each two times of prayer combined together. So from this hadith, we understand that yellowish color, which is a degree less than the red, al-istihada, is a running blood with non-stop, comes from the same place, the womb. This hadith also shows us that the blood of menses, it can be distinguished from the other. That the istihada, it may happen to some women, is not a regular thing with all the women. What is regular with all women is menses, but the istihada, it can happen to some women. That the woman is more capable to distinguish between the blood of menses and the other blood for istihada. One is dark blood and one is yellowish or reddish with lighter than the other one. Also the hadith is telling us that a woman during her menses, she could not make her salah. As long as the blood of menses is still there, doesn't matter how long it takes. As soon as the blood color changes to the different color, now is for her to carry her obligation from salah, fasting, etc. The woman who have istihada, she need to make a ghusl for every two salah, and she need to make a wudu for each salah. This will apply also to people who may have a problem with gas, but they don't have to take a ghusl. Some people, they have problem that they always passing gas, okay? And regardless how many times they go to make wudu, maybe by the time they walk from the wudu area to come to the musalla, they pass gas again, okay? So if we ask these people to make wudu for the salah and they keep the wudu, they could not. So we say to this person, it's sufficient for you to make wudu for each salah. Even if you break the wudu, why are you making the wudu? Go ahead and finish the wudu and make one salah with this wudu. But this exception for people have this. There is something called also salas al-bol, another sickness which deals with the urine. That some people, regardless how much the urine, how much they wait in the bathroom, after they finish and they make a stinger, it's still urine coming. Okay? So these people will say to them the same thing. Make wudu for each salah. Alright? Make wudu for each salah. Even if drops of urine come while you're making the salah, continue in your salah. So people who have excuses like this, now this will be exception for them. The scholars concerning having ghusl for each salah, the four a'imma, the four imams of the four schools, okay, as well as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they said, وَالْغُسْلُ لِكُلِّ صَلَاةٍ مُسْتَحَبْ لَيْسَ بِوَاجِبْ عند الأئمة الأربعة وغيرهم، بل الواجب عليها أن تتوضأ لكل صلاة من الصلوات الخمس عند الجمهور. Okay, that شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه said that غسل is مستحب, is something preferable, not obligatory, not a must, with all the four imams. Okay, and this is the best that we can say in this subject. For a woman to have ghusl for the two salah or for each salah, this will be much better, but is not a must. What is a must? Two things. Number one, she have to have a bath when her mens is finished. Now we're talking about a woman that have istihada. And now, let's say that her menses comes in the second week of every month. Goes from the second week until the third week. So every month, the third week when it's finished, she has to take a shower because her menses is finished. Okay? This is have to. The second thing is have to for her is what? That she make a wudu for each salah. Tafaddali Umm Ali. Yes, because he didn't give it a different number. All this goes under hadith number 118. وعن حمنة بنت جحش رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كنت استحاض حيضة كثيرة شديدة فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أستفتيه فقال إنما هي رقدة من الشيطان فتحيضي ستة أيام أو سبعة أيام ثم اغتسلي فإذا استنقأتي فصلي 24 أو 23 وصومي وصلي فإن ذلك يجزيك وكذلك فافعلي كل شهر كما تحيض النساء فإن قويتي على أن تؤخري الظهر وتعجلي العصر ثم تغتسلي حين تطهرين وتصلين الظهر والعصر جميعا ثم تؤخرين المغرب وتعجلين العشاء ثم تغتسلين وتجمعين بين الصلاتين ففعلي وتغتسلين مع الصبح وتصلين. قال وهو اعجب الامرين الي. اوكي This hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood as well as the Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Ahmad. And Imam Sheikh Al-Albani Hafizahullah, he found this hadith to be Hassan. Okay? And Hamna, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying my menstruation was too much and severe. So I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for his religious opinion. He said, this is a strike, this is the word stroke, this is a stroke of the devil, like a kick or a punch, okay? It's a stroke from the devil. So observe your menses for 6 or 7 days, then take a bath. And when you see you are purified and quite clean, pray for 23 or 24 days and fast and pray for that will suffice you, and do so every month just as the other women menstruated as a and are purified. But if you are strong enough to delay Zuhr prayer and advance the Asr prayer, then take a bath and combine the Zuhr and the Asr prayer, then delay the Maghrib prayer and advance the Isha prayer, then take a bath combining the two prayers. Do so and take a bath at Fajr. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said of the two types of actions, this one appeals more to my liking, i.e. take a bath for every prayer. Okay, so we can see from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand from this hadith that the ghusl for the mustahada is not a must, but is something that prefer. And what is more preferred, that if the person have the means and have the ability, that will take a ghusl for each prayer. Okay? Cleanliness is part of our faith. The more the person cleans himself, the more be dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excuse me. So in this hadith we understood that number one, the possibility of women asking learned one and scholars concerning things that they may consider private, so they can know about the proper way of worshipping Allah. And that the Sahaba women give us the example by going and asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about things which consider personal or private. Number two, that we understood that the possibility of the shaitan touching the human being with certain sickness. Number four, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the istihada to be a stroke from the shaitan. Number seven, so I'm trying to see if somebody away can keep jumping a number and nobody saying anything. Okay. Number eight, that he said 6 days or 7 days, because this is the usual time of a menses for a woman. But there is no a limit for the menses, the limit or the maximum. Okay, some women their menses is 1 day, some women their menses 15 days. Okay, so is no Every woman have her own cycle or her own habit is a different from a woman to woman. But what is the average is 6 or 7 days. Okay, number 9, that after the mens is over, that you have to take ghusl. Okay, you fall back. After this, a woman have to perform her prayer regularly. Number 10, that a woman who have menses could not pray, neither she can fast, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after you take the bath, pray for 13, 23, or 24, sumi wa salli, pray and fast. So that means this tells you, while you have your menses, you could not pray, neither you can fast. That this will be sufficient. And do this every month, like any other woman. They have a regular menses. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you have the strength, if you have the means, if you can. So this is, let us know what? That is not a must. Okay, but if you can, so in this way you're going to do what? Combine the prayer. You're going to combine the prayer, Zuhr and Asr together, Maghrib and Isha together, and that the morning prayer will have a ghusl by itself. Hadith number 120, page number 57. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن أم حبيبة بنت جحش شكت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدم فقال امكثي قدر ما كنت تحبسك حيضتك ثم اغتسلي وكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة. Okay, now you're going to know why I mix between the hadith before and this one. Okay, أم علي. Narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Umm Habiba bint Jahsh complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the blood which follows beyond the menstruation period. He said, keep away from prayer the length of time that your menses prevented you, then take a bath and offer prayer. And she used to take a bath for every prayer. Okay, she used to take a bath for each prayer. This hadith, which is in Bukhari as well as in Muslim, also in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood. Again we see this sahabiyya, female woman, coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about something which is considered private, but shyness or being shy, it didn't stop her to get to understand about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her the answer that she leaves the prayer during the time of menses, and after menses she have to go to the regular daily life from prayer, fasting, all these things. Okay. He also instructed her that she have to take a bath in the end of the menses. That Umm Habiba was so concerned about her cleanliness and her purification, and she used to take a shower for each salah. Also from this hadith we see that the woman is capable more to recognize the two blood and to distinguish between the blood of menses and the blood of istihada. And say, وفي رواية البخاري وتوضأي لكل صلاة. And in the version of البخاري, perform ablution for every salah. Alright. Hadith number 121, page number 58, from the book بلوغ المرام. وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كنا لا نعد القدرة والسفرة بعد الطهر شيئا. رواه البخاري وأبو داود واللفظ له. Narrated Umm Atiyya رضي الله تعالى عنها, we considered it nothing as impure. The muddins, the muddiness and the yellowness of the fluids after purification from menstruation. Okay, this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, Abu Dawood and Nisa'i, so for sure it is authentic. Al-Qudra, by saying the kaf dhamma and sukun on the dal, Al-Qudra, this is the bloody color or the blood which is reddish and has darkness, closer to darkness or blackness. Sufra, a reddish color which more towards white, that means light red. Shay'an, which means nothing, that means he didn't consider anything after the woman finished her menses, and after month and a month and a month and a year, a woman already know her menses, if it's 6 days, if it's 10 days, whatever. So after the menses is over and the woman took shower, it may sometimes come in different colors, okay, like yellowish or brownish or whatever it is. But if her menses cycle is over, she didn't have to worry about this. Only thing that she going to have to wash her private parts and make wudu. But does not mean she have to take a shower, does not mean she have to stop making salah. Why? Because any color comes after your regular menses, you don't pay attention to it, don't consider it anything. Hadith 122, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح. Hadith narrated by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Jews used not to eat with their women during the time of their menses. And the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, said اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح. Do everything else apart from sexual intercourse. Okay? So, this is something which used to be the practice of the Jewish, that when a woman have her menses, they consider her impure. And they used to put her out of the houses or sit in a section in the house by itself. They don't sit with her, they don't eat with her, okay? So alhamdulillah, the yusr and the easiness of Islam and Allah's mercy, that he brought this deen and he gave to us, that when a woman have her menses, she's still clean, she's still pure in a sense because she's a believer. But she are in a time where she's not supposed to perform a certain obligation, like salah as example. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, for the Muslims, with their wives, they can do anything with one exception. Anything that goes from eating, drinking, playing, sleeping together, everything. The only thing that is forbidden is what? The actual intercourse. This is the only thing that is forbidden. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, حديث 123, قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرني فأتذر فيباشرني وأنا حائض. Narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to order me to put an izar and then what's this? Caress? Caress me while ministrating, okay? So this is also to see the concern of the female Sahaba to relate to us.